So like I say, we're continuing to look at the parables this morning, the parables of the kingdom. And the parables are these earthly stories that Jesus told that have a heavenly meaning. And the parables are designed for people who want to know more about God. You know, they're not designed for those people who want to just not really bother to go deeper with God. Jesus explained the parables to those who followed him, to those who were seeking after and desiring to know more of God. And previously in the parables, we kind of seen these bigger picture views of what the kingdom is like. So I don't even know if you remember the one about the fields, the world being a field, and then the weeds growing up with the tares. It's kind of like this bird's eye view, big picture of the kingdom. And then Pete talked about the leaven in the bread, this idea of the kingdom permeating through the whole world as God builds it up and God grows it. So they're kind of these bird's eye views of the kingdom. But the parables that we look at this morning just bring it home much more personally. They're about the individual and how the kingdom applies to you and me personally, on a personal level, and how we are meant to respond to the kingdom. So let's read the two parables together. Matthew chapter 13, verses 44 and 45. And you might have noticed that all of the parables we've read so far are in couplets. And that's no different with these two. So Matthew chapter 13, verse 44. The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and covered up. Then in his joy, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls, who, on finding one pearl of great value, went and sold all that he had and bought it. So I need to give a disclaimer this morning, as with most of my sermons, that there's going to be loads of things I don't cover, and you're going to have loads of questions. And if you don't have any questions, then you're not listening properly. And if you do have questions and want to talk about them more, I'm more than happy to do that. But what I love you to do is to go and see God about them, and go and spend time with God and pray it through in the week. Sunday's never meant to be like us feeding you once and then you going away all week and coming back next week for some more food. It's meant, if anything, to be propel you into your own relationship in the week with God. So that's my disclaimer. There's going to be loads of questions and I haven't got time to go through them all. But what I will tell you is what I believe the main points of these passages are, these parables are. So the first thing I think has to be the main point of these parables is the value of the kingdom. The value of the kingdom. How valuable the kingdom is. But I want to go a step further than that. I want to also say it's about how valuable the finders of the treasure consider the treasure to be. Did you follow that? I just don't want to talk about how valuable the kingdom is, but I also want to talk about how valuable the finders of the treasure consider the treasure to be. Another way of saying that is to say the finders saw the true value of the treasure. So as we've gone through the kingdom series, we're learning many things about the kingdom of God. But at the very least this morning, we can say that being part of God's kingdom is being under the rule and reign of the King of the kingdom. And the King of the kingdom is King Jesus. So at the very least, being part of God's kingdom is being under the rule and reign of the King of the kingdom, who is King Jesus. So let's look firstly at the value of the kingdom. What's the value of the treasure and the pearl to the people who find them? What's the value of the treasure and the pearl to the people who find them? What did they consider that the treasure and the pearl was worth?
Everything.
Yeah, everything they had, isn't it? So in verse 44, then in his joy he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. And then with the pearl, upon finding one pearl of great value, he went and sold all that he had and bought it. So in both cases, the people who find the treasure and the pearl believe the value of it to be all they have. The value of the kingdom to them was worth everything they had. Everything. When they found the treasure, when they saw the treasure, when they found the pearl, when they saw the pearl, they saw it and they knew that it was worth everything they have. That's how valuable the kingdom of God is, and that's how valuable they saw the kingdom of God to be. So this is what I first thought. I thought, when the man found it, why didn't he kind of like try and figure out how much it was worth first, then only sell what he needed to sell to pay for it? Like, another question I had was, why didn't he just take the treasure and go? And why did he bury it again? And then, but these are the kind of questions I'm on about. You probably like, I haven't got time to go into. But why didn't he just figure out how much it was worth? Just sell enough for that to buy it. Why did he go and sell everything? And this is the conclusion I come to. Because he had to have it. So they realized that it didn't even matter if they had nothing left, as long as they had that. In other words, if they had that one treasure, then they had everything. But they didn't need anything else. So they were prepared to give everything else away just for that one thing. So this is what the kingdom of heaven is like. It's like someone finding Jesus, like maybe coming across him by accident, like it seems like, you know, accident in inverted commas. We know God's in control. But they don't know they're looking for him. Kind of like the guy in the field. It just seems like he's going about his everyday business or something, ploughing the field or whatever, and then, bingo, he hits this treasure. Or maybe it's like someone who's seeking for truth and finding Jesus more like the pearl merchant. But it's more than just finding Jesus. It's more than just finding him. It's seeing what the King of the Kingdom is worth. And it's seeing that the King of the Kingdom is worth everything you have. So it's not just finding the treasure. It's realizing when you see the treasure that it's worth everything you have. It's seeing the true value of the kingdom. It's believing what the true value of actually knowing Jesus is. And that it's the most valuable thing in the universe. And then after seeing that, it's responding by willingly, joyfully giving everything you have in return for it. But also know that the first person, he sells all of his stuff in joy. Look what it says in verse 44. Then in his joy, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. So it wasn't a sad moment. It wasn't like, oh no, I have to give everything away now for this piece of tin in this field or whatever. But he comes across this treasure and he's literally jumping for joy that he's going to sell everything he has to gain it. And again, that just reiterates to me that he knows that if he gets this thing, he's got everything he needs. He doesn't need anything else if he gets that treasure. Yeah? He was rejoicing to sell everything. And the thing is, when somebody truly sees the value of the kingdom, I mean truly sees it, they're filled with a joy. They're filled with a joy that they have found something more valuable than anything they currently have. Like anything. Like mothers, sisters, brothers, daughters, families. Like anything. They know they've found something better. And they're willing to give it all away because they know that in gaining that one treasure, they gain everything. So in both cases, there's a transaction that takes place, isn't there? Yeah, or am I making that up? There's a transaction that takes place. What is that transaction? They give everything to gain the treasure, right? So we need to be careful here, don't we? Do you buy the kingdom of God with money? No. In other places in scripture it's very clear. But just as the treasure and the pearl, a picture is pointing towards something else, the kingdom. So the money isn't just necessarily directly pointing to money. So the selling all they have has to be representative of something else. And this is the crux of what it means. This is the crux of what it means. Otherwise, I would just have to tell everyone here this morning to go and sell all you have, including myself. Okay? And maybe God does call some people to do that. Like, hear me right, I'm not saying that God would never say that to somebody. He did. He does, and he has. Who did he say it to? The rich young ruler. But then to others, he said, follow me. We'll come on to that a bit later, but it means different things. It will be manifest in people's lives in different ways. But this is the crux of what the parable's getting at. And if you take anything away from this sermon, please just take this sentence away. Someone gives up all they have in joy to gain everything Jesus is. Someone sees the true value of Jesus, that he is everything, more valuable than anything, and they surrender all to gain him. I think that's why it says that they just sold everything. Because when they saw the true value of the treasure, they didn't sit there trying to figure out, oh, I can still keep this for myself. If I sell this, that'll make me enough. But I can still keep some stuff for myself, and that'll be enough to get the treasure. They didn't do that. They literally knew that that treasure was worth more than any of the other stuff. And they said in their hearts, I don't need to keep anything. I don't need to keep anything. I just need that treasure. I just need Jesus. So what does it look like when someone gives up or surrenders all they have for all Jesus is? What does it look like when someone surrenders all they have to gain all Jesus is? And like I said, it's not going to look like the same for everyone. It's not going to look like one size fits all. You can't point at someone and say, oh, it looks like that or it looks like this. Because there's many instances in Scripture where people say they want to follow Jesus and then he challenges them on a specific issue. And this person's issue is different from this person's issue and this person's issue. But Jesus always gets to the crux of their heart. What is stopping them giving all? Yeah? And he always knows what that is for each one of us, what our sticking point is. But aside from what it looks like on the outside, at its core of what it means to surrender is this. Is someone seeing Jesus in all his glory, understanding that knowing him is the most precious thing in the universe, and saying, deep down, I surrender all to you. But that's what it means to be a follower of Jesus, to be a Christian. It means at some point you've said, Jesus, I surrender all to you. I give my life to you. You're king, I'm not. You're Lord, I'm not. Everything I have is yours anyway. I surrender to you. And whatever that means for me, I see you as more valuable than anything else I have. And I surrender to you. I think this song says it perfectly. I'm giving you my heart and all that is within. I lay it all down for the sake of you, my King. I'm giving you my dreams. I'm laying down my rights. I'm giving up my pride for the promise of new life. I'm singing you this song. I'm waiting at the cross. And all the world holds dear, I count it all as loss. For the sake of knowing you, for the glory of your name, to know the lasting joy, even sharing in your pain. And I surrender all to you. The transaction. Lord, I surrender all I have to you. And I gain all you have to me. Like everything he has, you gain. And everything you have, you just surrender. It's the greatest transaction in the universe. The greatest exchange anyone can make. And I really believe, and over the years I've learned to get a little bit more grey with stuff. You know, when I was a young buck, I used to be quite black and white, and I still am black and white on the important stuff. But on this, I'm sticking with black and white, okay? And I'm going to say, I really believe that the only reason that someone doesn't surrender to Jesus is because they haven't seen how awesome he is. They haven't ever seen how valuable he is. They haven't ever had their eyes opened to who he is. He's the King of Kings. He's the Lord of Lords. They just haven't seen. They haven't seen how valuable his kingdom is. How valuable it is to be under his loving care and reign and rule. Because just like in the parables, these parables, when someone truly sees how valuable he is, there's like a chain reaction. I just have to surrender myself to you. And they give everything. They give everything as a response. In their hearts, they surrender to him everything. Like I said, that doesn't necessarily mean you go out and sell everything, but it means in your heart, you've already given him everything. So if he ever did ask you to give something up, you already have anyway to him. It's his, not yours anyway. And it's up to him what he asks you to give. Yeah? But you surrender in your heart to him. You surrender in your heart. So I've got a couple of like illustrations, and they're going to be rubbish, but go with them. So first one for you boys who collect like the football cards, yeah, the FIFA cards. It might be akin to like collecting stickers in a sticker book, all right? Imagine it was just one card, yeah? The best card you can ever get. But there's only one of them. And if you get that card, like, none of the other cards matter. And all you got to do, right, is trade in your 10,556 cards you've got, and you get that one. But if you get that one, that card's the best ever. There's none better. The only reason you wouldn't exchange all your cards for that card is if you don't believe that card's the best. Because if you believe that card was the best, you'd instantaneously swap all of them for that. Yeah? Here's my second example. Imagine finding something up in your loft, and I'm not going to like say what it is, I'm going to let you use your imagination. You find something in your loft, and you don't know what it's worth. The only way you can know is by taking it to someone who knows what they're talking about. So you take it to your mate, one mate down the pub, and you say, oh, what do you reckon of this thing? He says, oh, it looks like junk to me. It's probably worth a five or something. And then his mate, who kind of knows a bit about the thing you've got, he's like, oh, no, I'm not an expert, but I think that might be worth something, actually. So you're like, okay, the first guy doesn't know what he's talking about. My second mate knows a bit more. But you know what? I'm going to take it to someone who knows what they're talking about. So you go on to Antiques Roadshow, or the police station, depending on what you found in your head. You go on Antiques Roadshow, and they look at it, they make sure it's the real deal. People are starting to like gather because they can sense like, you know, something's going on. And they're like, I don't really know how to tell you this. This is worth £1 million. Like, this is a unique thing. So you take that, and you times it by infinity, and you get the kingdom. Now, what Jesus is saying here is, I know what I'm talking about when I value stuff. Okay? This is Jesus, right? Not James. This is Jesus saying, I know what I'm talking about when I value stuff. And the kingdom of God and knowing me is worth everything you have. It's literally priceless. And your next step is whether you believe Jesus or not. So go back to like the guy in the Antiques Roadshow who told you it's worth £1 million. You either believe him, or you're like, ah, no, I think he's making it up. Why would you believe him?
He's an expert.
Yeah, you've looked into him. He's an expert. He's the real deal. I've got no reason not to trust him. Jesus is the real deal. Jesus is the Son of God. He's the God-man. And he comes and he says to you this morning, through me, broken vessel, he's screaming out to you saying the kingdom is worth everything. Jesus is saying that. The kingdom is worth everything, and it's your choice this morning whether you're going to believe him or not. Like, he's trustworthy. So what you need is you need someone to give you a revelation. Tell you what it's worth. You have to have your eyes opened to the true value of it. You know what? There's no better revelation than Jesus just saying to you in his word, the kingdom's worth everything you have. The kingdom's worth everything you have. We have Jesus in this moment telling us what his kingdom's worth. What gaining Jesus is worth. It's priceless. It's worth everything. Why can you trust what Jesus says? That's a massive question, isn't it? Why can you trust what Jesus says? Let me tell you why you can trust him. Because he gave his life for you. He laid down his life on the cross, taking the punishment that you and me deserve. And he rose again from the grave, defeating death. And every single promise he makes, he keeps. Okay? No one else has died for me. No one else has shown me that kind of love. That's why I know I can trust him. And that's why you can know that you can trust him. That's why you can believe him this morning when he tells you what his kingdom is worth. I pray that him telling you what he's worth this morning through these parables would be your revelation. People wait for like a light bulb moment or something, don't they? Maybe this is the light bulb moment of Jesus just telling you what his kingdom's worth. And you choosing to believe him. Or you seeing, yeah, that's what it's worth, and saying, I surrender. The opening of your eyes and that joyful surrender to him. And this is my final thought. For those who've made like that great exchange already, for those of you who've surrendered your life to Jesus already, and you've gained him, I want to remind you this morning that in him you're complete. In him you have everything you need. You don't need to go after this or that. You don't need to do any more. In him, if you have him, you have everything. You have the most valuable treasure in the universe, and you don't need anything else to complete you. You have him. But sometimes what happens as Christians is we lose sight of that, and what starts happening is we start grabbing for stuff again. Oh, I think I need this, or I think I need that, or I don't know if I'm accepted. Can't tell. And what's happened is you've just lost sight of how you became a Christian in the first place. Empty-handed, you just came and you just said, I surrender all. And it's just going back to, it doesn't mean that you're saved and then you're not saved and you're saved and you're not saved. It just means you've forgotten how you got saved. You've forgotten it was just surrendering to him. And you just come back to that place again. You come back to that place again and you say, Lord, I surrender. I surrender to you again. I've been going after some stuff that I shouldn't have been. And I've taken my eyes off how precious your kingdom is. how utterly priceless your kingdom is. And I just want to come back to that again this morning and just say, Lord, I surrender. I surrender to you. If you've never surrendered, then you can trust Jesus. You can trust him. I'm not saying that it's not a big step. It's like the biggest step you'll ever take. But you can trust him. You can trust him to take it. So do that this morning if you haven't. Surrender to him. And Christian, if you have, you're complete in Jesus. You're complete in him. Let's pray. Lord, I just want to pray you've revealed to us again the value of your kingdom, the value of knowing you. You remind us, Lord, that everything we have is a gift from you. And that you give us the courage, Lord, to trust you and to once again come to you with empty hands, empty-handed, just clinging to your promise that if we have you, we have everything. I pray, Lord, that you protect our minds and hearts against overcomplicating stuff like we do so often, but that you'd help us to just come to you after this, just be honest with you, Lord, and claim your promise, that in you we have everything we need. I pray, Lord God, that if anybody just is struggling still to just trust you, I pray, Lord, that this morning will be the morning that they know they can just trust you and just commit their lives to you, surrender all to you. In Jesus' name. Amen.